Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, November the 16th. Our guest this hour says the Farm Bill, which is up for reauthorization in the U.S. Senate, but appears stalled right now, is a complex piece of legislation that greatly affects public health. And Dr. Neil Barnard, who is a nutrition researcher and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, says when senators get around to voting on the Farm Bill, they'll have two choices. They can vote to keep America fat, sick, and uncompetitive, or they can vote to stop livestock feed subsidies that keep bacon and cheeseburgers cheap, and vote to stop dumping high-fat, high-cholesterol foods on schools. Which way do you want your senators to vote? We're going to focus in on how the Farm Bill would affect our diets and our health this hour, according to our guest, and wonder if you agree with him or not, and what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send your question or comment via email, talk@wpr.org. Dr. Neil Barnard is founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. He is also the president of the Cancer Project, a nonprofit organization advancing cancer prevention and survival through nutrition, education, and research. He is the author of several books, including Dr. Neil Barnard's program for reversing diabetes. He wrote an op-ed piece detailing his concerns about the Farm Bill, which we found this week in the St. Paul Pioneer Press. It was headlined, "Subsidizing Obesity, Diabetes, Hypertension, and a High Cancer Risk." And Dr. Barnard joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the Farm Bill does all that?
Yeah, that and more. We tend to not think of it that way. We think of it as a farm bill rather than thinking of it as what it really is, which is a food bill. It's a bill that dictates in large measure what schools can offer to children and what is cheap and what is expensive in the marketplace. And that pushes what Americans choose to eat, and I regret to say, as a physician, that it's pushing things in very much the wrong direction.
Yeah. And, well, why do you say that? Why is it pushing it in the wrong direction?
Well, maybe starting from the back and working forward, Americans are fatter than they've ever been. Children in particular. If you go into an elementary school, 16% of kids now are overweight, and it doesn't get better when they get to high school and in early adulthood. We never had figures like that before. And there are certainly many contributors, more fast food, television advertising, sugary sodas, and all that kind of thing. However, kids get either one meal a day or in some cases two meals a day in school. Mm-hmm. And what determines what's served in school? Well, right now, if beef prices fall, the government, by law, by the Farm Bill, must buy up beef. And they buy it up by $10 million, $12 million, $15 million worth. They've got to put it somewhere, so they put it in schools. If dairy prices fall, the government buys up cheese, and they really do buy it. They buy up a huge amount, and because by law they must remove surpluses and stabilize prices, and they've got to put it somewhere, so they put it in schools. And if you look at the school menus, about 20% of the food that kids are eating comes from these, and you'll see sausage pizza, cheeseburger, Salisbury steak with gravy, and you think, you know, I'm sure our kids probably don't need quite as much of that as what they are eating, and it might be nice to see the occasional vegetable and fruit there. The schools have absolutely no choice in the matter because these things are free and they've got to pay top dollar for everything else. What we are doing by a mistaken push to try to stabilize farm income, and these programs go back to the Depression era, what we're doing instead is sacrificing the health of our children. And I'm going to argue that whether you are a farmer with children in schools, whether you're an economist with children in schools, whether you're a computer programmer or a teacher or whomever, your children are the most important asset you have, and they should not be sacrificed on this economic altar, which is what is happening now. And there is precious little political clout to change things.
Yeah. I imagine, though, that the school lunch programs aren't forbidden from providing healthy foods or salads and vegetables and fruits as well as that hamburger.
That's right. They are able to legally, but here's their issue. If I'm running a school lunch program, let's say it's one of the districts in Milwaukee, Madison, anywhere, Eau Claire, you name it, and I'm on a budget, and I would like to provide, say, a veggie burger as a choice against the hamburger. The veggie burger might cost me, say, 70 or 80 cents, And that doesn't sound so bad, but if I've got to feed 10,000 students or so, compare that to the meat burger, which is essentially free because the government by law has to buy it, and so they're stuck with it, and they're going to give it to me for nothing. And then the next day I have the same choice and the same choice and the same choice. You see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Or let's say I've got some kids in my school who are lactose intolerant. Lactose intolerance is the inability to digest milk sugar. It's totally normal, but it occurs in as many as 70% of African Americans. And let's say I'd like to provide them soy milk. Uh-oh, got to pay top dollar for that. But if it's cow's milk, well, these things are heavily subsidized. I'm going to argue that if we want a healthy population, we really need to change these laws. Because right now, let's say I'm running an automobile plant out of Detroit, and I have to pay for the health care costs of all my obese workers, and we are making America not only fatter, not only sicker, but much less competitive in the workplace.
We're talking about the Farm Bill, which is stalled right now in the U.S. Senate, a bill that our guest says is not good for our health, that it's making us fatter and sicker, and we wonder what you think, what questions you have. Dr. Neil Barnard, founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, November the 6th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins this afternoon. After 4, Gene we'll invite your views on the news. Call in with your thoughts on the week's most significant news story. That's after 4 this afternoon. We're talking about an issue that's in the news, the Farm Bill, which at first we thought was going to be voted on in the Senate this week, but having some problems. Senator Tom Harkin yesterday said that the Farm Bill may have to wait until after next year's elections. Our guest this hour might say maybe that's for the best, since the Farm Bill, he says, is not good for America's health. He says that it subsidizes obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and high cancer risk. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions. Dr. Neil Barnard is our guest. He is the founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. One of your colleagues, Dr. Barnard, Dr. Helen Salisbury, wrote a piece that appeared in our Wisconsin State Journal recently that did directly blame the childhood obesity and diabetes epidemics on the Farm Bill. Do you go that far?
Well, I think it's a contributor. There are certainly many contributors, but it's one of the biggest ones. And I mentioned one way, in that the commodity purchases are just dumped on schools. They're quite often the highest calorie, highest fat foods, and they're fed to our children, and it does make them heavier. And there's one more way that happens as well. Right now, if you drive through Iowa, you see corn on the right, you see soybeans on the left, and doesn't that look pretty? You know, none of that is for human consumption. That's hog feed, mm-hmm. or cattle feed, or chicken feed. And if you're an agribusiness raising that, you get direct subsidies. And the more acres you plant, the more money you make. And so if you are then trying to raise livestock and trying to fatten cattle, well, your livestock feed is one of the biggest costs of production, and if it's artificially subsidized, that means hamburgers are cheaper, and they're significantly cheaper. Now, some people involved in agriculture don't like that because our subsidies mean it's harder for us to trade overseas where these things are regulated, and subsidies are getting us in trouble. For physicians, we don't like it because if I have vegetables and fruits that cost top dollar, but meats and dairy products, the most unhealthy, most fattening foods, are subsidized and artificially cheaper, well, that makes our whole population heavier. So, yes, I think that's a big part of the problem. And to tell you the truth, this is not, in Congress, this is not a nutritional battle. There is nobody in Congress who thinks our children need another cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. That nobody believes that. What is happening is a situation of money, primarily. Tyson Foods, it's the biggest meat producer in the world, and its annual revenues, around $26 billion they bring in. But they are one of the big recipients of these government contracts. Now, you can't argue for a minute that they really need government help, but they get it, and they get it because Tyson has a PAC that contributes an enormous amount of money to members of Congress who, in turn, keep voting for subsidies and commodity purchases. Tyson does it, Smithfield does it, Hormel does it. They're all doing it. They're buttering the bread of members of Congress, and the members of Congress, in turn, say, you want me to turn that money down? You want me to vote against agribusiness? And my answer as a physician is, vote your conscience. Yeah. And they're having some difficulty doing that in Congress right now.
So you think no subsidies to agribusiness?
I think that would be ideal, yes. Yeah. I mean, right now, if the price of computers falls, does the government buy up 10,000 Dells and put them in schools? No, you don't see that. If the price of other products falls, does the government buy it up? Are they subsidizing the listeners who are hearing this program now? As you drive to work, does your government does the government support your economic future? Not really, but they do it for farms. And this goes back to the Depression era when farming was a much dicier business than it is today. Now agribusiness can insure itself against lean times by taking the longer view, and the median farm income is higher. Let me repeat that. The median farm income now is higher than the farm income for, or than the income for other people. And it's time for that to change.
Sue in Eau Claire joins us. Good morning, Sue.
Hi. Yeah, I agree with your guest. I think about all the land we have that's planted to corn and various carbohydrate things that the government subsidizes. You know, we could be planting vegetables and fruits that people need to eat. And I'd have to say that I have two kids that are now out of school, but every year when they would go to school, they would gain weight from eating the school lunch program. And in the summer, when they weren't eating that type of food, they would lose weight. I saw it, and I think it's very important.
Yeah. Well, you agree, Dr. Barnard.
Yeah, I sure do. And I think that's such an important observation that Sue has made. And if other people are thinking, you know, that's true too, then the next step is simply to let your members of Congress know what your opinion is about that. Whether you agree with what I'm saying or whether you disagree, I think the most important voice in a democratic process should be the voice of the people who are either benefiting from or being harmed by these policies. As a matter of fact, in the democratic system we live in, the government has a direct one single phone number that you can call, and you can tell your member of Congress whatever you believe, and that number is 224-3121 in area code 202. So it's 202-224-3121. An operator will say U.S. Capitol, and you just say, well, I'm from Wisconsin. Who are my senators again? And what they'll do is they'll put you through to your senators, and then you have to call back and talk to the other one. You'll get the aide who handles the farm bill. They will take into account what you have to say, and I hope people will make a call and let their members of Congress know what they believe.
I talked with one of our members of Congress, not a senator, but in the House, U.S. Representative Steve Kagan, who was on, I think he's on the House Agriculture Committee, and he was happy with at least two provisions that he authored that got into the House version. One would create a $10 million a year grant program for states to develop tactics for reducing childhood obesity, and the other would give school districts the authority to buy produce from local farmers for school lunch programs. That sounds pretty good.
Sounds good, doesn't it? It will have not enough effect. And if, on the one hand, we continue to dump cheeseburgers and sausage pizza in our schools, and on the other hand, we have some model program to give them some vegetables here and there, it's a little bit too tempting for the child. Imagine what happens if you're a kid, and the kid is presented a big chocolate cake or basically anything else next to it. They go with the least healthy thing. So as long as we're giving unhealthy, high-fat, high-calorie, free things to schools, the schools will take them and they will serve them. We have to stop that process so that the schools don't have any economic incentive for taking those foods in the first place. But what you're describing is a political process called buying off votes. They did this in the House. They wanted to keep the subsidies as high as ever because the agribusinesses are happy with it, and so they throw in a few marginal programs, a few farmers market programs here or there, try to make other people feel good. And in fact, the politics behind the scenes was really quite devastating. Nancy Pelosi is widely reputed to have encouraged senators to vote, or congressmen rather, to vote against reform because she was afraid that if newly elected members of Congress from agricultural districts voted to cut subsidies, that they would be voted out in the next election, the Democrats would lose their power. Now, I have no particular complaint with Nancy Pelosi in general. However, I was really quite disturbed that she rallied the troops to defeat reform and to vote for obesity over over health.
Yeah. You started your op-ed piece, and I wanted you to expand on this. Last month, the American Institute for Cancer Research unveiled the most detailed report ever produced on how healthy diets can prevent cancer. And this month, the Senate will ignore every word of it. What did you mean?
It's been about 2 weeks. The American Institute for Cancer Research issued a report that is bigger than the Manhattan Yellow Pages. It is huge. And it's extremely detailed, and it links what foods we eat with what kind of cancer we run the risk of. And they made it very clear that red meat increases the risk of cancer, particularly processed meats like bacon, sausage, hot dogs, but other red meats as well. There's also evidence of carcinogens in grilled chicken. These are called heterocyclic amines. They increase the risk of cancer, according to epidemiologic studies. And on the other hand, diets rich in vegetables and fruits reduce cancer risk. Well, right now, if you have a son or a daughter in high school and you look into their future, a boy's risk as he grows into manhood, cancer risk is about 50-50. At some point, he has a 50-50 chance of developing cancer. For a girl or becoming a woman, her risk is 1 in 3. This is not genetic primarily, and it's not smoking any longer. Smoking is obviously a contributor to cancer, but people are getting away from that. The biggest issue right now is what people eat, and the biggest issue there is meat consumption. There's also a link between dairy products and prostate cancer that Harvard researchers have been talking about for a long period of time. All of this, every word of it, is ignored as they draw up the guidelines for what they will subsidize. So they're subsidizing feed grains to feed hogs and feed cattle, put as much red meat on the American plate as possible, and cancer researchers end up wringing their hands thinking, how are we ever going to win this war on cancer? Are we going to feed kids in such a way that they get it, and then I'm going to rely on colonoscopy and mammography to find it? And then is that our war on cancer? My suggestion is we stop it at the source, and that's encouraging healthier diets.
We got a couple of callers who missed that number. It was 202-224-3121, Dr. Barnard?
That's right, 202-224-3121. And if you want to get specific with your senators, simply say, I want anything that emphasizes health. And one of the first of the amendments that they will consider to the Farm Bill is called the Fresh Act, as in fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. And it doesn't go quite as far as I'd like, but it does cut these subsidies for unhealthy foods, and it does increase vegetables and fruits. So if people would like to say, Senator, would you please favor the Fresh Act or any other amendment for health? I'd really like to see that.
We'll talk more about that coming up after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio as we continue our discussion on the Farm Bill with a guest who says, as it stands right now, it is not a healthy bill for America. And we welcome your questions for him, Dr. Neil Barnard. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Friday, November the 16th. Coming up after 7 o'clock this morning, I'll be talking with a political analyst about last night's Democratic candidate debate in Las Vegas. We'll wonder if you caught any of that, what you thought of it. Whether Hillary Clinton recovered from her recent stumbles or not. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're wondering what you think of the Farm Bill, which is right now in the U.S. Senate, stalled for the time being. Our guest this hour, Dr. Neil Barnard, founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, does not like this bill. He says that it spends way too much money subsidizing big agribusiness and those that produce fatty meats and cheeses, and not enough on fresh fruits and vegetables and healthy foods. Dr. Neil Barnard is a nutrition researcher, president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and he says that senators have two choices when they finally get around to voting on the farm bill. They can vote to keep America fat, sick, and uncompetitive, or they can vote to stop livestock feed subsidies that keep bacon and cheeseburgers cheap and stop dumping high-fat, high-cholesterol foods on our schools. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. I'm a little bit surprised that we have an open line right now. A lot of times when we talk about nutrition and our kids and childhood obesity and school lunch programs, you're all over it. What do you think of what's being served in schools for school lunch programs? Do you think that the Farm Bill could change that? Do you think policy should be changed so that is changed? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Dr. Barnard, talk a little bit about how healthy you think school lunch programs are right now.
Well, they unfortunately have a long way to go, and where there are deficiencies, it is not the fault of the people running them. They're put in an impossible position, where they're trying to make their budget balance, and they get free food from the government, and it's just hard for them to not take it. And similarly, if you look at a food assistance program like the WIC program, it's called the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, which is where the WIC comes in. And if a woman says, well, I've got a low income, maybe you can help me out if I could get some vegetables and fruits for my family. Well, the answer is a big no. We'll give you 24 quarts of milk, 4 pounds of cheese, mm-hmm. Both of which are high in saturated fat and cholesterol. But if you say, well, no, maybe just some carrots, you've got to be breastfeeding in order to qualify for carrots. And in that case, they'll only give you 2 pounds for a month. So the point is, it's very cheese-heavy, milk-heavy, and they are really ignoring the healthier foods. That's by law, and the law's got to change. Now, I know this has been maybe a little bit pessimistic sounding as a program. However, there are some bright signs. We have some unexpected allies. When we were fighting this battle in the House, Representative Ron Kind from Wisconsin stood up and he said, enough is enough. We've really got to change these old subsidies and toward health. And then the American Medical Association in June voted for strong reforms. They said that if you're planning your school lunches, if you're planning any kind of food assistance program, it should not be based on trying to prop up the prices of unhealthy foods. It ought to be based on health. And they went further. They said that schools ought to be offering vegetarian foods as well, at least as an option, and non-dairy beverages in schools. So if a kid wants soy milk instead of regular milk, it ought to be there. The President's Cancer Panel, which has been around since the 70s, said almost the same thing. And so we are hearing this chorus of health organizations calling for reform.
Yeah. And in the spirit of full disclosure, you've been on this program a number of times, but you advocate a vegetarian diet or a more plant-based diet.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think it's by far the healthiest choice. And by way of fuller disclosure, it's exactly the opposite of the way I grew up. I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota. And my grandfather was a cattle rancher. And as a matter of fact, I still remember my Uncle Harold sitting around with my Uncle Lloyd and my dad and everybody. And my Uncle Harold was complaining about welfare. He's saying, all this welfare payments, and why don't these people just get a job? And my Uncle Lloyd, who was not a farmer, he was a minister, turned to my farming Uncle Harold and he said, wait a minute. You, as a farmer, are complaining about welfare. Well, how do you think you make your living? Mm-hmm. And the point being that American farms have become almost like a welfare program, at least in the opinion of some of my family members.
Let's go to the phones. We have our lines full now. Rita in Menominee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I would just like to have the doctor also speak to the fact that schools, not only from the school lunches, which I think they are really trying to make improvements in with adding more vegetables and fruits, but also the supplemental foods that kids bring in during the day for, like, snacks or, parties. And then also, could you speak to something about the use of high-fructose corn syrup added to so many foods nowadays and the effect that has on children? I think we really need to look at that, too, and the portion sizes. It's not just what they're being served, but it's like how much and then how often and then the high-processed boxed foods that kids seem to overeat.
Great. Those are all good questions. Let me take them backwards. The sizes, I think you're right that if kids are fed a little bit too big of a burger, they're more likely to gain weight. But that's, again, a call for more plant-based foods in the schools, because if you have an extra serving of vegetables or fruits or rice or something, it's a very forgiving food. It's not very high in fat, not very high in calories, so if you eat a little bit too much of it, you're not going to start gaining pounds. But on the other hand, cheese, meat, or for that matter, oily foods are so calorie-dense that if the portion size increases, we're going to run into trouble. Corn syrup, you're right, it's in everything. It's just basically sugar. There's no reason for it to be a subsidized food, but you're right, it is. And finally, when kids are bringing foods in, or when things are stuffed in vending machines, those can be part of the issue as well. I don't mean to say it's all a question of what the government does, but the government needs to lead in a healthier direction, and if we pair that with a little bit of education about what is healthier for folks, I think we'll be ahead of the game.
Thanks, Rita. Leslie in Merrimack, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. The question I have is something I'm learning much to my own surprise. I've been to raw eating only vegetables, and recently have cut down on meat a lot. Recently, however, I've gotten some information from something called the Weston A. Price Foundation, which talks about the kind of fats that we eat. And it strongly suggested to me that I have to rethink the kind of fat that I put in my body. For instance, grass-fed meat instead of corn-based, adding coconut oil, eating organ meat, along with losing the kind and quality of local or organic vegetables and fruits I'm eating. I wonder if you have a comment, instead of just sort of saying no fat or no dairy, if there are some differentials between the kinds of fat and the kinds of dairy that we eat.
Yeah, you're a little muffled on your telephone. Did you get that, Dr.
Brown? Yeah, I think I did. And I can't say that I find the source that you cited to be a very credible one. I know the one that you're referring to. But the question is certainly a valid one. And the kind of fat we eat does matter. And that's why dairy fat is probably the worst of all. If you look at where does saturated fat come from in the lives of children, the leading source is whole milk. And it's naively, even pediatricians, sometimes parents will say, well, a kid needs some fat, don't they? So they don't give them skim milk, they give them whole milk, or they don't give them soy milk, they're giving them, you know, butter and cheese and that sort of thing. Dairy fat is heavily saturated. That means it's the kind that is not an essential fat for growth or for function. It's extremely high in calories, of course, like all fats, and it tends to raise cholesterol. On the other hand, plant oils are healthier as well, but I'm not suggesting that we need lots of any kind of oil, but the kinds that are healthiest for us are the plant-derived oils, those that are in animal products. Beef is about 50% saturated fat, chicken about 30%, dairy much higher than that. So I think you're right. The choice that we end up with is about the same. We really want to steer clear of animal products to the extent you can.
Neil Barnard is founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, also president of the Cancer Project, a nonprofit organization advancing cancer prevention and survival through nutrition, education, and research, author of many books, including Dr. Neil Barnard's program for reversing diabetes, talking with us about his criticism of the Farm Bill, which he says subsidizes obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and a higher cancer risk. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If you have a question for him, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. After 7, we'll talk about last night's Democratic presidential candidate debate. After 8, it's our Friday Week in Review. Right now, we're talking about the Farm Bill with a guest who says that it is not healthy for America, Dr. Neil Barnard, our guest. And we have an email, a challenging email for you, Dr. Barnard, an email from Doug in Iola, who says, apparently your guest does not have any children in public schools and no clue about current farm prices. With meat and dairy prices near all-time high levels, how much of these commodities has the government really purchased since 2004? I'm guessing very little. I have a son who goes to school, and I wish he was getting a cheeseburger in his school lunch once in a while. Usually it's some pre-packaged food that has more chemicals in it than any meat or dairy-based commodity.
Okay, great point. I suggest that you take, if you have a minute, call your school or walk down there and go to the cashier and say, if my child buys soy milk, what does that cost? Or if my child buys regular milk, what does that cost? And first of all, the cashier is going to say, well, regular milk is the only one we offer. We don't offer soy milk. We don't offer rice milk, oat milk, almond milk, any of those things. Forget it. We don't have it here. But we do have cow's milk, either as they may have a low-fat or a full-fat version of it. They may come in chocolate or vanilla. And it is surprisingly cheap. But what you're saying is right, that because of ethanol production, corn prices are going up, so that's affecting the marketplace. But this pricing scheme that has been in place since you and I were in school is still in place today. It hasn't changed, and I regret to say that the only changes we're seeing in kids is they're fatter now than they ever were before. And let me just repeat something I said earlier, that however people come down on this, if they make their voice heard, I think that's important. So you can call the Senate. You can call 202-224-3121. And if you want to talk to Senator Cole's office or Senator Feingold's office or any other senator, they will put you through. And ask for the person who handles the farm bill, let them know your opinion. The first amendment that will come up is called the Fresh Act, fresh like fresh vegetables. And in my view, that it should be supported because it cuts subsidies for unhealthy foods and increases support for vegetables and fruits. And if people want more information, if you don't mind, I'm just going to mention our website, which is PCRM.org, stands for Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org, and there's a whole lot of information on the farm bill right there, made very, very simple, and parents, teachers, children, if they want to, can take a look and take some action.
Apparently, this bill is running into some problems. Today, there will be a Democratic attempt to cut off debate on the farm bill. Republicans want to add even more amendments. Critics say have nothing to do with the farm bill. And,
right.
And what do you make of this flap, and what do you want to see happen?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. At last count, there were somewhat 175 amendments being offered to it, and Congress says, you know, we've got a finite amount of time. Some of these things relate to the income that a farmer can have in order to qualify for subsidies. Right now, if a farmer's income, I'm talking about the income that they have put on their tax form and send into the government, they can make, I believe it's $2.5 million a year personal income, and they still qualify for federal support. And some of these modest proposals say, well, why don't we cut it down to, say, $1 million, so that if a farmer is just barely a millionaire, they can still get government support, but not above that. I would say that's all ludicrous. How many teachers out there would say, well, I wouldn't mind a handout from the government every now and then? How many people are driving taxi or working in a factory thinking that a farmer making well over $1 million gets subsidies? That's where we are. That's one of the amendments that comes up, and people are calling for an end to that because, frankly, it makes American agriculture look, not the way it should look.
Yeah. Susie in Richfield is with us. Hi, Susie. You're on the air.
Good morning. Great program. I'm a Central City teacher, and where I teach, 98% of the kids live below the poverty level. I am not only appalled by what the school lunch program consists of, but I'm always also intrigued by the fact that my children are so fascinated by what I bring in my lunch every day because I'm a vegetarian. And one of the stories I'd like to share is one day I had a Cortland apple in my lunch, and the class I had that year asked me what it was because they didn't know. And so infrequently was fresh fruit included on the lunch menu, and when it was always the tiny delicious apples that they had no idea. And so this led to, of course, every week during the fall season, I brought in a different type of apple for them to try. And it just, I think it speaks to living in poverty, our food products that are available for people right now. It's not just the food lunch program. It's the food that's generally available to people is, it's so unhealthy and it's so sad. And I'm so glad you're having this show to make people aware.
It's pretty shocking, isn't it, Dr. Barnard?
Yeah, well, Susie, thank you for your call. And the lower people's income is, the more dependent they are on food assistance programs, and the more essential it is that those food assistance programs help insure people against what lies before them. And unfortunately, nowadays, when people are poorer, surprisingly enough, they are at higher risk of obesity. They are at higher risk of hypertension, diabetes, what we used to call the diseases of affluence, but they strike poor people because food assistance programs serve unhealthy foods, because many of these poorer neighborhoods are not well served by large grocery stores. Everything is packaged convenience foods. So they're eating little cheese snack things and potato chips and so forth. We really should change that. The food stamp program, there's no reason that it couldn't give double or triple its value if you buy fresh fruits and vegetables. There's no reason that in schools we can't take kids out into a garden and back. And some schools do this, where they actually show the kids how food is raised so that they're growing lentils or they're growing some vegetables, and then they actually harvest it when the time comes and they taste it. And that way kids perhaps can develop an appreciation for healthier things.
Susie, thank you very much for the call. Habu in Madison is with us now. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you. I didn't listen to the whole show, but the effects of this farm program or subsidy on the rest of the world, especially the third world, is enormous and really causes great havoc. I'm sure the guest knows about it, but briefly, the people in the third world can produce corn or rice cheaper than they can in this country. But the difference of the subsidy makes it much cheaper for us because we have an overproduction here since there is a subsidy, and dump it in these countries, which means that these entire communities, little communities, village communities, their whole, which are entirely dependent on farming, they just collapse the whole infrastructure. And what happens is these people then are jobless, go to the cities and, you know, live on penury. It's a horrible state of AIDS and prostitution, et cetera, et cetera. But not only that, the subsidy also is now, they think, lending to the obesity of people in these countries too. Thank you.
Yes, Habu, you're absolutely correct. The economics of it is terrible. The other thing that's terrible about it is some of these foods, when these foods are sent overseas, we've seen this throughout Asia now, where the diet is westernizing. In Japan, obesity is going up. Rice intake is falling in Japan. Meat intake is rising. Cheese is not a Japanese food at all, but cheese and milk are now being consumed in Japan. Obesity rates are going way, way up. Diabetes rates have exploded, and I think that people, once they taste these foods, they get a bit hooked on them. I'm talking about cheese, meat, as well as sugar and chocolate, these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
People get hooked on them, they want to continue with them, and we're exporting not only bad economics but bad health as well.
We'll go next to Mary in Spring Green. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. Glad to talk to you, and I think this is a wonderful program. Mm-hmm. It's particularly apropos because we just are starting a sustainability effort for the community of Spring Green. We're in the process of educating ourselves about sustainability. So my question, if you know anything about sustainability versus the health problems in the ag bill, that would be a wonderful.
Okay. Well, that's a great question. And in just a minute or so, since we don't have much mm-hmm. time, just very briefly, if you're going to feed livestock, whether they're chickens or whatever, Americans now eat 1 million chickens per hour, believe it or not. That works out to a little bit more than 9 billion per year, according to USDA figures. Well, these chickens, all or hogs or cattle, all have to be fed something. So acre after acre after acre has to be planted with feed grains, the pesticides, the irrigation, to produce the feed grains to go into these animals ends up producing just a very small amount of meat. And in turn, these animals are busily defecating, producing greenhouse gases, as you've probably heard in the recent debates, and that's utterly and totally unsustainable. a vegetarian type of lifestyle has long been known to be much more efficient use of resources. And for me as a doctor, I like it very much. But people involved in sustainable agriculture like it as well.
We'll leave it there, Dr. Barnard. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, and I appreciate all the calls.
Yes, Dr. Neil Barnard, founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, also president of the Cancer Project, a nonprofit organization advancing cancer prevention and survival through nutrition, education, and research. He is the author of many books. We've talked to him many times about those books. His latest is Dr. Neil Barnard's program for reversing diabetes, talking with us today about his concerns over the farm bill. And he says that the current farm bill that's in the Senate right now subsidizes obesity and diabetes and all sorts of health problems because of the big subsidies to agribusiness, including livestock and dairy. We thank him for being with us, and we thank Carmen Jackson for producing the hour, and we thank Leo Duran for on-air production. Leo's back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.